So today we get Jinhao seldom come. and another one to light the candle. Look at Jinhao now, light the candle and the incense. Oh, today the book is sitting at Gaoya. Oh, you see. Okay. Yeah. Okay. The rest of us can stand and get ready for puja. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, you all can be seated. So, very good afternoon to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So, today is the 27th, June 2019, Thursday. We are back to Suyan and Mifong's house. After, I think, about a month plus at Pamasuri place. So, Pamasuri and Brett are still in China, where the daughter's graduation today, exactly, today, 27th. So we wish them a very good convocation. Then it seems the father to Pamasuri's father is joining them. Yeah. They went back all the way to Malacca to fetch him. then they took a flight to Shanghai. So the daughter graduated so fast, 5 years already. Very fast, time flies. Okay, now let us compose our mind, develop the sadha, virya, and mindfully we shall develop the chanting. Arahang sama sambuddho bhagava buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi. Suakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakka Sangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, you can visit that. Then turn to page 1 of the chanting book. We will chant from the Vandana onward. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Dutiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Tatiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Tatiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Tatiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Kāmesu micchācāra viramani sikkhapadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Musāvādā vīramani sikkhapadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Sūrāmeraya majjhapamādathāna vīramani sikkhapadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Now we will chant the Padipa Puja offering of light. Ganna sarapa dithena dipena tamadangsina tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonodang ganda sambarayutena dopena hang suganghina Pujaye pujaniyang tang, puja bhajana muttamang, vanna ganda guno petang, etang kasuma santatin, pujayami monindasa, siri pada sarorohe, Pujemi Buddhaṃ kasumena nena punena tena ca hotu mokhaṃ pupaṃ milayati yata idaṃ me kāyo tata yati vinasa bhavaṃ ādivāsetu no bante Paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patikan hatu mutamang adivasetu no bante pale parikapitang anukampang upadaya patikan hatu mutamang Adivasetu no bante bojanaṃ parikāpitaṃ anukampaṃ upādāya patikaṃ hatu muttamaṃ. Now we will chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition as soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate Sila, Samadhi, and Panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free Nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculty of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, now let us be respect Tripa Cha. Buddhang pajayami. Dhammang pajayami. Sanghang pajayami. Okay, you all can be seated. We are off the light. Then you can have half an hour of silent awareness meditation. I will set the alarm, then you all can start your meditation. For those who already know how to meditate, you can straight away proceed. For those who may need to train their mind, you can also do it. If your spiritual faculty is already there, technically your mind can settle down very fast, because there is no mental hindrance to hinder you from entering the meditative state of inner calmness, inner peace, and inner awareness to meditate. So you just relax body and mind, silent everything. Then whatever thinking or thought, if there is still any, it will slow down. Then sati, it will take over. The mind will naturally settle down, and you can realize the silence within. The natural state of mind is stillness and silence before the thinking or stirring. So when you understand this, technically you don't have to do anything. You just follow the four support, relax, then maintain awareness continuous for as long as you can. Then your mind will settle down and you will return to its original state of stillness. you can perceive that silence, the stillness, that is the beginning of meditation. That is your silent mind, your meditative mind. That is the mind. Oh, okay. Never mind. Later on, I will explain again. It's okay. Oh, maybe I will just repeat this. For those who need instruction, I was told by Sui An, somebody is new. May I ask, what's her name? Yin. Yin, eh? Y-I-N. N. Yin. Okay. Do you know how to meditate? Oh, you don't know. You are first time. Okay. You don't have any exposure to any meditation practice. Okay. Do you understand a little bit of the Buddhist teaching? Okay. Good enough. So you only need that, huh? So it will be easier if you understand a bit of the Buddha's teaching. So this instruction is specifically for you. To develop meditation is very easy when you understand. But when you don't understand, it may not be so easy. So according to the Buddha, our mind, the natural state is the meditative state. But we are not able to be in that state because we have been living our life in a heedless manner. Means we didn't train our mind. We don't have the spiritual faculty to guide us, to stabilize our mind. These spiritual faculties, there are five. The Buddha call it Sadha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya. The English equivalent are Sadha is faith in the Buddha and his teaching. True knowing who is the Buddha, how special a being he is. He is not only enlightened, he is fully enlightened. Then his teaching can awaken living beings' mind, can bring about enlightenment in the here and now, can free living beings' mind from all suffering. That is the uniqueness of his teaching. That's why when you understand that, you have very strong faith in the Buddha and his teaching. That it will drive you to cultivate his teaching. So the second spiritual faculty is Virya, which is the spiritual zeal that will drive you to cultivate. Then after that, what you need to do is to train this mind to have the third spiritual faculty of Sati, or what we call mindfulness. So mindfulness is just a silent mind without thought. You're already mindful. So I will teach you some form of skillful means to develop this state of mindfulness. Then when your mindfulness stabilizes, it will develop into a state of silence, which we call Samadhi. Samadhi is the collectedness of mind, the unwavering mind that does not stir at the moment of sense experience. So when you have Sati and Samadhi, your mind is very firm. It has clarity. There is no thought. Then you can see things as they are. You can awaken to whatever truth that is within nature. That's how it gives rise to wisdom, which is the fifth spiritual faculty. When these five spiritual faculties are there, you are constantly in the meditative state because it will prevent the five mental hindrances from arising. These mental hindrances, they are mind state that hinders your mind from becoming peaceful, from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness or awareness. So this is the very important understanding. Then now I will teach you how to develop the mindfulness. You relax body and mind, completely relax. then silence your mind. Close your eye, don't think. I will teach you the mind sweeping method, so that your mind only feel and relax. So close your eye, make sure your backbone is straight, relax, body and mind, then feel your forehead, don't think, just feel. If you can detect any tension, tightness or stress with it, you just soothingly relax, relax and relax into it. Feel yourself relax, so that whatever tension, whatever tightness and stress within, they will dissipate. Yeah. Then you move your attention down to your eye muscle especially. Again, do the same. Feel, relax. Make sure all of your eye muscles are soothingly relaxed. Feel them all soothingly relax, relax and relax. Then you sweep it down to your facial muscle. Again, each and every strand of your facial muscle, feel it, then relax into it. Yeah. Then in order to allow you to relax easier, you can visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. When you can radiate a radiant smile, you are happy, you have joy. By nature, that joy will bring about the relaxed state of mind. There will be no stress. That's why you will feel your entire facial muscle very relaxed. Then you can radiate loving kindness or metta to bring about well-being to all your body and mind. You can radiate, follow what I radiate. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. Feel your entire body and mind having this well-being and happiness. Each and every cells within your physical body, feel it having this well-being and happiness within. Then you can continue to radiate. May this body and mind of mine to be without enmity, without ill will and unhappy. May it too be well and happy, well and happy, free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May its mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, and may it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within your hearts. Then you can radiate this same loving kindness or metta to your loved one. May my parents, my brothers and sisters, my relative, my loved ones, my good friend, my close friend, my good neighbor, and all those relatives that I know. May they all too be well and happy, well and happy. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May their body and mind too be free of all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then you can radiate this metta to all beings. May all beings within the vicinity of this place, including all Kayanamitas, co-meditator, cultivator, and all living beings, seen and unseen, within this vicinity, may they all too be well and happy, well and happy. May the mind state still be without enmity, without ill will and on trouble. And may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their mind states. Then we can extend this metta to all beings throughout the entire existence. May all beings within the whole of Subhanjaya, Petalingjaya, Selangor, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, then the entire planet, Mother Earth, and all beings within our galaxy, or our planets, including all beings within the entire Milky Way galaxy and the entire universe. May they all too be well and happy, well and happy. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. And may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May their body and mind too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May there be peace, may there be love, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. By now, your mind should be more quiet, more peaceful, and more calm. Then you come back to your facial muscle, feel relaxed. Then you sweep your attention or awareness down to your neck, feel relaxed. Shoulder, feel relaxed. Hand, feel relaxed. Back to shoulder. Then you sweep it down to your heart or chest area. Just silence your mind to feel. You can detect any vibration or your heartbeat. Just stay there. If you can't, never mind. Just like you feel your forehead, you feel your heart or your chest area. Then you relax into it. Wherever there is any tension, any tightness or any stress within, you just feel it, relax, relax and relax, soothingly relax. Then you sweep it down to your stomach, feel, relax. Abdomen, silent everything, feel, relax. Then your leg, feel, relax. Your buttock, feel, relax. Then you can reverse this mind sweeping method. From the buttock, feel, relax. Then leg, feel, relax. Then sweep out to your abdomen, feel, relax. Then move your attention to your stomach area, feel, relax. Then your heart area again, do the same, feel, relax. You can detect any of your heartbeat or vibration, you can also stay there if you like to. Otherwise, if you are new, if you have not developed the stability of mindfulness, you may not have the sensitivity to feel them. So you just relax. Then you move it up to your shoulder, feel, relax. Hand, feel, relax. Back to shoulder, feel, relax. Then your neck, feel, relax. Then back to your facial muscle, feel, relax every strand of it. Then move it up to your eye muscle. Again, relax. Just feel and relax. Then you move your attention further up to your forehead, feel and relax. By now, you should be more calm and more peaceful. So what you can do is, you need to stabilize this quiet mind. This quiet mind or calm mind, which is without thought, is actually your sati or your mindfulness. But this one, you need the mind to have something to do. Otherwise, it will wander off. The mental hindrance will take over, and you will become heedless, lost in thought again. So we need to anchor this awareness or mindfulness to stabilize it. So I will teach you Anapanasati, which is recommended by the Buddha. Anapanasati is mindfulness of the in and out breath. Anapana is in and out breath. Sati is mindfulness. So Anapanasati is a meditative training just to be aware of the in and out breath. And to do it is very simple. You just maintain attention in front of your nostril, then silence everything and allow the breath to breathe in and out naturally. Then as per the instruction by the Buddha, when your awareness is aware of the in and out breath, follow it. Breathing in, aware. Breathing out, aware. So this training is very easy. Yeah? For those who are new, maybe you'll find it quite difficult initially. Within split second, the mind wanders off very fast, and you realize you are already lost in thought, no longer with the breath. Yeah. But never mind. Every time it wanders off, you bring it back to the breathing. Just silence everything and maintain awareness. Then when you detect the breathing again, continue with that training, Anapanasati. So you can do it within maybe a few minutes. It will stabilize. Then your Anapanasati will take effect. Then you will start to experience a very interesting transformation within. The mind that is able to be aware of the in and out breath will develop sati or mindfulness. So when you are mindful of the in and out breath, you are without thought. Then the mind will experience a type of calmness. They call it the spiritual joy or spiritual calmness. In Pali it's called piti. You will experience piti, a type of meditative calmness or joy. Sometimes it's like something rupture inside your mind. So they call it spiritual rupture. So you continue to relax into every mind state that arises, then maintain the Anapanasati. As you do it, the calmness will become more and more stable until finally you experience a deeper type of joy leading to blissfulness of mind. It's called Sukhang. So from piti, it transforms to become Sukhang, a state of bliss within your mind. You will feel very good, very blissful, and you will like that meditative experience. So when Sukhang arises, just be aware and relax into every mind state that arises until your breath becomes very, very peaceful, very quiet, very still. If you continue to relax, it will slowly transform again, and you will reach a state of like very quiet state. We call it Pasati. Pasati is the tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind in awareness without thought. During this time, your breath like become very subtle, like you hardly breathe. So when this happens, don't have to do anything. Maintain attention at the breath. Even the very subtle movement, you just stay there until your mind enters sati and you develop a more refined type of mindfulness that can detect even the subtle breathing. Then during that time, your mind is in the state of sati. It becomes very sensitive. Everything that you can detect is like magnify, and you can feel them. Even the slightest movement is like magnify, because your mind is already in the deep. That is the meditative mind, your true mind or your silent mind. So continue to stabilize it, develop it, then use it to develop understanding, which is meditation. Okay, I will let you meditate on your own. Then when the alarm ring in half an hour, or the half an hour alarm ring, you can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. I will also ring the bell 3 times. Okay, you can develop the meditation on your own. Okay, you can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness or awareness that you have developed. These are the mind states you need to maintain so that you can have them in the midst of life. Later on, you need them to develop the daily mindfulness. The daily mindfulness is the ultimate true meditation. You cannot be mindful in the midst of life. You cannot develop heedfulness. And according to the Buddha, Dhammapada verse 21, the heedless are as if dead. Only those who are heedful, they are destined for enlightenment. So the Buddha said, heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. Whereas if you are heedless, heedlessness is the path to the death. The heedless are as if dead. Which means according to the Buddha, you don't stand a chance. You cannot be mindful in the midst of life. Okay. Okay, now turn to page 6. We will do the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities and devas come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chiyakawalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammam Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakamokkhadam Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Iti Peso Bhagava Arahang Sama Sambuddho Vijja Charana Sampanno Sugato Lokavido Anuttaro Purisa Dhamma Sarati Satta Deva Manusanang Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sandittiko Akaliko Ehi Paseko Opanayiko Pachyatang Vetitabbo Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Saukasango Ujupatipanno Bhagavato Saukasango Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Saukasango Samichi Patipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Yadidang Chattari Purisa Yukani Atta Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Savakasango Ahuneyo, pahuneyo, dakineyo, anjali karaniyo, anuterang punya ketang lokasati. Sadu, sadu, sadu. Okay, let us pay respect to Pajaya. Bedang Pajaya. Damang Pajaya. Sanghang Pajaya. Okay, you can be seated. Then just relax body and mind, yeah? Maintain some form of attention. Then we can continue with our second session. Second session is meditation reporting, huh? Followed by whatever question you may have. You can ask questions regarding meditation, the Dhamma, which is the teaching of the Buddha, and how to apply, yeah, this teaching to whose car is blocking? 729, oh, Angeline, Andrian, sorry. Yeah. Andrian, yeah. Don't worry, slowly, go out and just move the car and tell people you are sorry. I think their car cannot come out. Oh, they want to park in front of their house. Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Anybody wants to report their meditation or ask any question? You just raise your hand. Sui An will pass you the mic. Anybody? Nobody. As usual, very shy. What about you? First time you're meditating? How do you feel? Oh, calm, very good. You can feel calm, it's very good. No problem. Initially, it's like that, where you are not used to the sitting posture. That's why your leg, you will feel some pain. Then sometimes it's like numbness. Then like the blockage that caused the sensation to be unbearable. Then you label it pain. Okay. Maybe I will make use of... do you want to add anything else? Apart from you feel calm? Can you follow the instruction? Oh, very good. You can follow me, it's very good. After I will give you some book regarding this meditation. These are the two books which explain to you very clearly of what we do over the 2 hour period. It's a typical session which has most of the instruction there. So when you go through it, you will understand what I'm trying to teach you. Then meditation becomes very easy because your mind is very, very, not conditioned by other teaching. So easy for you to absorb. It's like a clean slate. The sponge can absorb very easily. So Suyan, after that, get the book, that 2 book. Then the seminar book, I will also give you a seminar book on the teaching. This seminar book is very good because it's based on a seminar that I was invited to in the year 2013. I delivered that talk at the Bangkok International Buddhist seminar. I think though. Oh, they are Google. Yeah, so he thought I asked him a question. that 3 books. The blue one, 2 are meditation, part 1 and part 2. You go back and read, you will understand. Now I will brief you a little bit. So you look at the whiteboard. This whiteboard, that's why I don't want to rub it off just now, is because it's very complete, very good. The four important support for awareness-based meditation. So you have to remember these four. First is to relax. Relax into every mind state that arises during meditation. Whatever it is, just relax. The moment you can relax, you are peaceful. A person who cannot relax has problem. There is stress. There is problem. There is tension. Yeah. That's why they are incapable of having a relaxed state of body and mind. And when you cannot relax, you cannot meditate. After you relax, you don't have to do anything. You just maintain awareness. Awareness means the mind is just aware before the thinking, before you perceive anything. So aware here means silent the mind, silent mind. No internal chattering, no mental verbalization. There is no thought movement at all. So you just relax, then maintain the awareness. Even if the thought arises, let it pass. No need to worry about it. The thought can tell you a lot of things and distract you and draw your attention away. That's why they say you can become lost in thought because you are preoccupied with the thinking. Then sometimes the thought make you worry, make you unhappy, create dislike, because it will make you restless. And you cannot calm your mind down. You want to meditate, you want to be peaceful, but you cannot. That is because the mental hindrances are there. So according to the Buddha, there are five mental hindrances. These are mind states that hinders your mind from entering the meditative calm, inner peace. First two is one pair. He said sensual desire and ill will. These are your like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience. When you are living life or when you are sitting meditating, you have your five physical senses together with your brain, the sixth sense. So upon receiving the sense data, it will arise as contact. Then together with the contact, it will trigger off the mental consciousness. So you can be conscious of what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel or think. Of course, in the form of meditation, less of the seeing consciousness. But you can also be conscious of what you see. So when you experience a sense experience through any of the sense door, you have the tendency to stir your mind, to react to it, because you have preference. Whether you like that sense experience or you don't like that sense experience. That's how you arise sensual desire and ill will. And these are one pair of duality. So the like and dislike, they are one pair of duality. So when you have this dislike, you are lost in that thought. When you have the sensual craving or sensual desire, you are also lost in that thought. Where you are preoccupied in that sense experience, which means you cannot be in the moment, silent, to develop the awareness within. Means you cannot follow what is going on. That's why it's called a hindrance. It will hinder your mind from becoming peaceful and aware to understand clearly what is going on in life. Then the third one is sloth and torpor. Sometimes you don't understand the meditation that well and you don't have the interest. You may feel sleepy because you are so used to be active in life. So when they ask you to sit and cannot move like a child, you discipline the floor, pain also cannot move. Then they felt very, very like agitated inside there. Yeah. So if you got nothing to do, and you don't see the importance, it can create a type of mental hindrance which they call sloth and torpor, or sleepiness of mind, lethargic mind. It's just like in school, when we attend a class, in that subject you don't like, you feel very sleepy. Sometimes you can't even open your eyes. You just like want to doze off. So that itself is a hindrance. Then the fourth one is restlessness of mind. If you have that, it is also a hindrance. And according to the Buddha, why are we not peaceful? Why are we restless? You are restless because you got this problem related to life. So whatever problem that makes you worry, makes you sad, have anxiety. So all your worry, sorrow, lamentation, and anxiety, and your fear is the cause of this restlessness of mind. So when you have problem in life, can be financial problem, career problem, or even relationship problem, then sometimes health problem. So all this can give rise to worry, anxiety, fear. Then your mind become preoccupied with this problem, and it lashes onto it. That's why it cannot be peaceful. It worry about it. It doesn't know how to resolve it. That's how this mental hindrance become very powerful. So the Buddha said, if you don't keep your precept, if you don't live your life in accordance, means you make mistakes, or you violate the precept, the nature's law, then karmic-wise, the karmic friction, they will come back and haunt you, cause problem to you. Then you start to develop the suffering, the misery, the unhappiness. So this restlessness of mind can arise very easily if you don't understand the teaching, you don't discipline yourself to keep your precepts, not to harm people, not to cheat people, not to steal from people, not to have any deceiving thought or idea, then not to arise the negativity of speech, like angry speech, lying, harsh speech, then say bad things about people, backbiting, then also speak in a frivolous manner, thinking that it's a joke. So sometimes all this wrong speech, wrong action, and wrong thought can create a lot of problem for the individual in life. And because of that, you will have fear, worry, anxiety. Your people may react to what you do. Then the law of karma also may catch up to you. If you harm people, cheat people, deceive people, kill people, people may also do this back to you. That's why you have yourself problems. Then the last one is doubt. When you are not sure of the teaching, you don't know what to do in life, you have this doubt. And you don't know how to act. So those with doubt don't have faith, don't understand the teaching. They are full of ignorance. They are full of self-delusion. And because of that, this doubt create what they call fear, worry, and anxiety. Doubt is ignorant delusion. That's why it leads to fear, worry, anxiety, and you lack confidence. So this is how the mental hindrance really prevent you from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness. And you cannot meditate because of that. So the Buddha said, when these states arise, don't fight it. Don't try to control the thought or suppress the thought. No. Don't even try to do away with it. Because the moment you do that, you create more negativity. You create more mental hindrance. All of your dislike of the mental state that arises is a mental hindrance. So when you understand this, the Buddha said the only way to break this is to cultivate the opposite five. They are called spiritual faculties. Faculties of mind or mind states that can allow you to understand spiritual teaching relatively easily. So the first one is faith, saddha, confident in the Buddha and his teaching, just now I explained before. True knowing clearly who the Buddha is. He is not only enlightened, he is the fully enlightened one. He is perfect in understanding, wisdom and enlightenment. Then he has this teaching that is so beautiful. It can bring about enlightenment in the here and the now to liberate living beings' mind, free them from all suffering. Then because of your faith, you will definitely see the importance of this teaching. Then you develop this virya or spiritual zeal or tenacity to cultivate this teaching, to go this way. And this virya is the second spiritual faculty. Then you determine to meditate. And the first thing about meditation is to train your mind to have mindfulness, sati. Well, according to the Buddha, Dhammapada verse 21, heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. So in order to be successful in meditation, you need to be heedful. And to be heedful, there are two components. That's why here, heedfulness has two components. You have to be ever mindful and constantly meditative. So constantly meditative is constantly cultivating Noble Eightfold Path. So we have to start with the first quality, ever mindful. To be ever mindful, you must train your mind to be mindful first. Then stabilize it to be ever mindful. That's why just now the instruction now all geared towards this. You train your mind to be peaceful, aware, have this mindfulness. Then you stabilize it with anapanasati. So initially, if you don't have that spiritual faculty, your mental hindrance is there. That's why you need something to take care of this mental hindrance. So what I have taught you is a temporary, skillful means to initially do away with these five mental hindrance, but they are not a permanent fix. They are just a skillful means to temporarily keep them at bay. So what I teach you is the mind sweeping method. You just feel relaxed. You develop this into a new conditioning. So when you feel and relax, you don't think. When you don't think, the mental hindrance cannot arise. But you have to live life. You cannot whole day sit there and do mind sweeping method. Then you cannot live life. That's why it doesn't solve your problem. So you need to cultivate these five spiritual faculties to overcome them. So when you have saddha, the faith, there is no more doubt. When you have virya, spiritual zeal, there is no more sleepiness of mind. When you have sati or mindfulness, after you have trained, you will not think. When you don't think, you will not have sensual desire and ill will. Then your mind cannot be restless, because when you are aware, mindful, you are peaceful. So all the mental five hindrances will be gone. Then when sati stabilizes, it becomes samadhi. Your mind becomes collected and unwavering. This is for you to take care of your daily life. When you are in the midst of life, your senses are all fully engaged with life. Understand? So because you are fully engaged, if at the moment of seeing, moment of hearing, smell, taste, tactile and thought process, If your mindfulness is not stable, you don't have samadhi, it will stir. And you will stir your mind and react to sense experience. That's how the sensual desire and you will, the first two mental hindrance, keep on arising. So if every moment of sense experience, also you have this like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience, and you stir your mind, then this becomes habitual. And it develops into habitual tendency. Until later, it becomes latent tendency. So from habitual tendency, it becomes something latent in you. That's why it will keep on arising. Then when this latent tendency is very strong, it becomes asava. It like keep on wanting to come out, erupt. That's why the Pali word is anusaya and asava. Anusaya is latent tendency. Habitual tendency becomes latent tendency and make you very, very strong in this urge to stir and react. And when it has become habitual tendency, you will never be able to be peaceful. But throughout the day, you arise the mental hindrance until you become so habitual. Then this mental hindrance continuously hinder you from entering the meditative state of inner peace. That's why you hardly aware. You're hardly peaceful, you're hardly mindful. Most of the time you are agitated, reacting to sense experience, preoccupied with all your views, opinion, conditioning, belief system, your worry, your fear, your anxiety, your problems of life. They all keep on haunting you. Then you are entangled with all these accumulated memories, good and bad, your scars of memory, your fear, your phobia, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, all this can haunt you. Then since thoughts are respond to memory, that's why you keep on arising them. And these are what we call wrong thought. So what are wrong thought? Thought that condition your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your phobia, your sorrow and your lamentation, your deep resentment and unhappiness, even your envy and your jealousy, and your selfishness, emotional negativity, and fear, or insecurity. So all this will bring about what they call problems, suffering in the living being. That's why this teaching is so powerful. Without samadhi, you cannot deal. You need to develop the stability of mindfulness until in the midst of mind, your mind is collected and unwavering. Then at the moment of sense experience, you will not stir, you will not react. Then you can see things as they are. Then you can start to relate to the Dhamma that you have learned. The essential Dhamma that you have studied, learned through hearing the Dhamma, through listening to the recording. All our talks are recorded, so you don't have to remember and take notes. You only need to go back and listen to it again. Then now with Jinhao, I think it helps a lot more. He managed to help us to produce very good video. Yeah. So you can see the video file too. Yeah. And they are very clear because we make it a point that we spend money at the right place. We buy this good camera, good recorder, and also very good, I think, video. They need to do some editing to all these things. So if you have a camera or a video camera that has all these features, then it helps. That's why I was very amazed when I saw the video. What I wrote on the whiteboard, you can see, you know. Then when you see the words, you will not make mistake. Otherwise, you will make mistake. Well, from those who did the transcript, they make a lot of mistake. Recently, I'm doing another one, I think. Six Patriot Sutta, Lesson 84. The Kayamita say they sent it to me last year, end of last year. But I never received. I only received yesterday. So I was going through it. Then you know, inside there I always use this six patria, your true nature, true nature. You know what they transcribe? Instead of T-R-U-E, T-H-R-O-U-G-H. True nature, go through the wall on that truth. So completely out, understand? But if you see me right, the word may sound like something else because you are not familiar with this type of Dhamma or teaching. You tend to believe that it is those commonly used words, but no. So because of that, it is good to see what I write. Otherwise, not easy to follow. Yeah. So these are the advantages, or the added advantage for you all to actually develop the understanding of the teaching. So when you understand all this, then you listen to the teaching again. Then when you listen, you will come to the stage where you can actually correlate back to your daily life, your daily mindfulness. Because when sati and samadhi is very stable, then you can see things as they are, then you can see the truth, not what your mind is telling you. Your mind, every time, condition you into delusion. Because this mind is full of views, opinion, conditioning, and belief system. So every time you see something, you will refer to your memory. That's why I put up here, acting according to memory is not acting at all. Well, what is memory? These are your views, your opinion, your belief system, your conditioning. And you see them according to your memory. Whatever you hear also, you refer to memory. So acting according to memory is not acting at all. So how should you act? You should act according to wisdom or understanding, so that you can arise the true action. So when you act according to wisdom and understanding, that is true action. So what is wisdom? What is understanding? When you understand the Dhamma, the teaching, you have wisdom. So you will understand why I say see things as they are, not according to what your mind or your memory tell you. That's why the words come out. The concept, the idea, the views, opinion. That's why you keep on reacting and stirring your mind when you see something or hear something or smell something, taste something or tactile feel something and think of something. But when you have this ability to be with the moment, you realize at the moment of sense experience, in the seeing, it's just a seeing consciousness. No one to see. You have not perceived yet. There is no word. No concept, no naming. It's just the pure thing as it is. Then you will understand the pure perception, the pure awareness, the non-grasping aggregate. So all this you will understand. Then if you were to listen to the audio file or the video file nowadays, you can relate to the teaching. Then you reflect on it, contemplate on it, you inquire into what you have heard. This is the second turning wisdom. Then when you are able to stabilize this second turning wisdom and assimilate into your nature, you actually develop another type of wisdom, which the Buddha called Cintamaya Panya, wisdom born of reflection, contemplation, and inquiry into the truth that he has taught us. So this second turning, together with the first turning through hearing, will prepare you to receive the higher truth, the third turning truth, Bhavanamaya Panya. That's why when you have this initial wisdom developed, what we call Yoniso Manasikara, wise attention at the moment of sense experience, this is initial wisdom born of the first and second turning. So when you have this, your mind becomes different. Because this will allow you to straighten your view and you will not react to sense experience like before, so heedless, so habitual. So this one will bring about sense restraint. This one will bring about more momentary awareness with understanding. Then because you do not react and stir your mind, you will create less sankhara. So the dependent origination, the dwelling, the first two links, avijja paccaya sankhara, will be weakened. When avijja paccaya sankhara is weakened, you will have more moment of awareness, mindfulness, clarity, space between thought. You are no longer heedless, lost in thought. For those who are mindful, who has gone through the training, they will know. Before they train their mind, before the mindfulness come, they think a lot. Their mind cannot stop thinking, cannot have even one or two moments of silence or peace. It's impossible. The reason being, the mental hindrances are very strong. They don't have spiritual faculty. They have not developed them. And they have not trained their initial wisdom. That's why the Avijja Sutta is very important. The Avijja Sutta is about the 10 steps that you have to go through. They call it the enlightenment sequence or enlightenment cycle. Step 1 is you must have Dhamma friend. Then step 2, you must have opportunity to listen to the true Dhamma. Then step 3 is, after you listen to the Dhamma, put it to test, investigate, stand up to investigation, you have faith in the Buddha and his teaching. So faith in the Triple Gem. So these first 3 steps, all Kayamita should have. Because as Kayamita, we have Dhamma friends. We have classes, Tuesday class, Thursday class, Sunday class, and sometimes our weekend classes. Yeah. Our Dhamma sharing. We have our Dana, monthly house Dana. And we also have our spiritual trip, retreat. And sometimes Sunday, or in the case of Klang, last time we used to have the Friday talk and all those things. Then when we go for a retreat, it is a continuous session, especially our 9-day retreat. That one you will benefit a lot. You will progress very fast. You really, really have the understanding, the faith, the sadha, and the virya. And with the sasana around, all these are not difficult, very easy. So after the first 3 steps, you have to come back to step 2 to constantly listen to the audio and video file. Then reflect, contemplate, and stabilize your second turning wisdom. When that one stabilized, your initial wisdom, yoniso manasikara, will arise. This is the 4th step. When this 4th step arises, your daily mindfulness, sati, leading to sati sampajana, daily mindfulness with clear comprehension, become like automatic, very easy. Well, when you have initial wisdom, your mind does not stir like before. Most of the time you are aware, mindful. That's why your mindfulness can be continuous. You can develop this continuous mindfulness and carry them into your daily life. Yeah. And what you need to do is, during your formal sitting, you must meditate until your mind transform and develop into pasati, tranquility of mind, stillness of mind. The mind enters sati. Then when you come out of it, that mind that is in sati is able to be aware in the midst of life. Means every moment of hearing is in sati. Every moment of your seeing is in sati. Smell, taste, tactile, and thought process. That's why you are ever mindful throughout the day. Unless you hit that, you can never develop the awakening. So step 4 leading to step 5 is very important. You have to work on these two. So step 4 is quite easy. After that, step 5 also will not be difficult. But you have to develop the sati sampajana. It's only after you have finished the training of step 4 and 5, then only you can develop step 6 and 7, which is automatic. When you have sati sampajana with initial wisdom, You will have sense restraint. You will not break your precept. You are very sure. After that, you will awaken. And when you have sense restraint, your precept is in order, your karmic nature is taken care of. That's why you keep on arising the three ways of right conduct. You can never go wrong anymore. Then after that, you cultivate the four foundation of mindfulness, which is step 8, it becomes very easy, very clear to you because of all this initial understanding and the daily mindfulness. You can see all the essential Dhamma. You can link them all. They come from the same teaching, Four Noble Truths. Then you will experience the seven factors of enlightenment. They keep on arising in you. That is step 9. Then you are sure you are on the right path. You have not deviated. You have not gone astray. That's why enlightenment in the here and the now, step 10, will definitely be there. And this is how you cultivate. And with that, you will never play the game of suffering again. Because you are no longer deluded. Your wisdom liberates your mind. Free your mind. The phenomenal world cannot deceive you anymore. Sankara cannot deceive you anymore. The universal characteristic become very clear. And your life transform and you become so different. This is how the teaching can bring about real transformation, awakening. Yeah. So, I believe I have covered everything. Is there anything I didn't cover yet? Huh? I have covered almost everything. Sadhu, huh? Okay, we can rejoice. Huh? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So for you, Yin, don't worry, slowly. Huh? This one session is a bit too heavy for you. But don't worry. As you slowly develop the faith, the spiritual faculty, you will learn. And you will learn fast. And you will progress fast because use the mic. I missed out that one. I explained to you. No, for the recording sometime. Okay, this Bob and the circular, that's why she pay attention, huh? True or not? First time he also can see this. And this is so small, you know, in the midst of all this. And this is the only one I didn't explain. This one is a physics analogy to explain to you how you function as a human being, how you become conscious of what you see. Yeah? Careful, huh? Conscious of what you hear, smell, taste, tactile feel, and think. So this physics experiment is like there's a battery, there's a switch, there's a bulb, okay? So what happens is, if the battery has power, if you on the switch, what happens? The light bulb lights up, okay? So our mind and our physical senses function more or less exactly the same. This battery is the power bank, and this is where consciousness gives you the power bank. So this one is like the battery pack, the source of energy, which is our consciousness. So when this consciousness is there, this bulb is like your sense organ. Sense organ. It can be your eye, your ear, your nose, your tongue, or your bodily tactile, or your brain. Brain is to arise the thinking, the thought process. So when the appropriate sense data come in and the contact switch is on. On means your conscious mind goes to that organ. So that conscious mind, if you want to see, it make contact with your seeing consciousness. It go to your eye. That's why your attention is on what you see. You understand? Your attention is on what you see because your mind go there. So this one become EYE, your eye. Or if your attention is on hearing, then the ear is the organ. So upon contact, this one, like the light bulb, it lights up. So like the Buddha said, you become conscious. Conscious of what? Conscious of what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. And do you need a God to create seeing consciousness? You don't need it. Right? This is an automatic physics experiment, nature's law. Right? Upon contact, the light bulb lights up. That's why he said, in the seeing, at the moment when that seeing arises, it's only the light bulb light up. The seeing consciousness. There is no one to see yet. But our mundane mind, with the views, opinion, and the conditioning, and the belief system, immediately lashes on and cling on to what you see. That's why the egoic mind arises. The egoic mind is the cause of self-delusion, sakkayaditti. Then you say, I see. It becomes like there is a person, a personality that is seeing. There is a being that is seeing. And this is a delusion, the Buddha said. If you meditate, if you are aware, you can see. At the moment of consciousness, awareness, before the content of consciousness goes in, before you input those content, you can see them very clearly. It's just that thing. That's why when your mindfulness is very stable, all these are possible. You can be at the moment of contact. You can be at the moment of feeling, perception, sankhara activity, consciousness. That's why you can be at the moment of consciousness. It means the pure consciousness, the seeing consciousness, before the content go in. And when the content go in, it becomes nama rupa, form and mind, the five mental aggregates of form and mind. Before it go in, this is the pure consciousness, pure awareness, without the content. So this ignorant, because before you become enlightened, because you want to know, you want to understand. So one thing to know, one thing to understand, what do? You create thinking. Like in school, your teacher will tell you. You don't understand, go back and think about it. So you go and think. What happens when you think? When you think, you make contact with the brain. Understand now? Because you try to retrieve whatever memory you have. So this contact with the brain create mental consciousness, like this physics experiment, create mental consciousness. So this mental consciousness, when they arise, initially this pure consciousness is the mental consciousness. This is what they call your seeing consciousness, hearing consciousness, smell, taste, tactile, and thought consciousness. The content has not gone in. The moment you input your content, this one becomes nama-rupa, the five mental aggregates of form and mind. This is how this second aspect of the five aggregates of form and mind arise. And when they arise, with self-delusion, you attach, you cling, you grasp, it becomes the upadana khandas, grasping aggregate. That's how it conditions suffering. Just like the dependent origination link will go on. So dependent on this five aggregate of form and mind, the mental five aggregate, there must be contact. Without contact, it cannot arise. Sense basis. Without sense basis, this cannot arise. Because with sense basis, only there is contact, then this can arise. That's why this is how the link goes. Dependent on this nama rupa, the second aspect of the five aggregate of form and mind, there must be salayatana, or sense basis. And dependent on sense basis, there can be contact. And dependent on contact, there can be feeling. Dependent on feeling, there can be craving. That's how the dependent origination flow comes about. So this aspect of the physics experiment as an analogy to understand consciousness is very good. It's very easy for you to understand. Okay? Yeah.
Yeah. Brother Teo, can you explain Yoniso Manasigra and versus Sati Sampajana as applied in daily life?
Okay. Very good question. Because seldom people ask, are the two related? They are not related. Yoniso Manasikara is Yoniso Manasikara. Sati Sampajana is Sati Sampajana. Sampajana is clear comprehension. Sati is mindfulness. So when you develop daily mindfulness, you may not have Sampajana at that time. But you need to stabilize that daily mindfulness before you can cultivate clear comprehension. There are four aspects of clear comprehension, as mentioned in the teaching, as taught by the Buddha. He said the first clear comprehension is sincerity of purpose. You must be very sincere. That's why I say sincerity will bring forth the way. Sincere means what? You don't have any other ulterior motive in meditation apart from developing the wisdom to awaken, to free your mind. You are not after psychic ability, special meditative experience, or very special, what they call meditative skill that can delude the cultivator. Then they believe they are different, they are special. So this will bring about the egoic mind becoming stronger and stronger. That's why when you don't have the understanding, you are not sincere in your cultivation. Without the sincerity of practice, means sincerity of purpose to cultivate, you can land yourself into problem. So if you are not sincere, your motivation is psychic ability, special meditative experience, or result that can make you famous, that can maybe allow you to become famous and enable you to make money, become popular and all those things. So if your sincerity of purpose is not there, then you will deviate, you will go into psychic field, energy field. Then the second aspect of clear comprehension is domain of meditation. And the Buddha said this one needs to be understood. Cultivation can be cultivated anywhere, any place, any time, under any circumstances and posture. Means the domain of meditation is linked to your understanding of meditation. The real meditation is the moment you are heedful, you are in a meditative state. You are ever mindful to cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha. That's why you are ever mindful, constantly meditative. Which means meditation can be done in the midst of life. You don't have to wait till you retire. You don't have to wait till you have the time to go for a retreat. You don't have to wait for a quiet environment or a quiet, conducive place to meditate. The real meditation is life itself. The daily mindfulness with clear comprehension. Then the third aspect of clear comprehension is suitability. Here, suitability means the most suitable time is here and now. You don't say, wait till I retire, then I cultivate. I can focus better, I can have more time, I got less worry, my kid all grown up already. But this is what your thought tell you. And this is delusion. Because after your kid grow up, after they graduate, you worry about them getting married, having a family. Then you worry about their grandchildren later on. Not only your children. Then you got so much thing to worry. And then you keep on telling yourself, I still cannot retire because they still depend on me. I still need to support them. And all these things. So what is important is you have to have this clear comprehension as to suitability. Means do not procrastinate. Is it the correct word? Procrastinate. Yeah? Means don't delay. Yeah? Don't give excuses. Yeah? So when you understand that it can be done in the midst of life, just like what I did when I was in my career as a civil engineer, I can do it. That's why I don't have to be deluded by what people say. Monk, full-time also cannot do it. You think you stand a chance as a lay person. Forget about what they tell you. Whether you are a monk or not depends on your heart, not the rope. Understand? If your heart is resolved, sincere, have faith, you are willing to strive on with heedfulness, you will become a true monk. And you will progress very fast. That's why all this understanding must be there. Then when you have faith, when you are sincere, you just cultivate, persevere. It will unfold. It will awaken. So this suitability is very important. Most important time, or most suitable time, is the here and the now. The most important place is the place you are in. Because you are here, your form and mind is here. Unless you have psychic, then you can do something to somewhere else. Otherwise, you better cultivate at this place. And the most important people are those around you. Because these are the people whom you have to interact with, have established relationship with. And within this environment, you have nature. Man and nature must harmonize. That's why this clear comprehension of the most important time is now. The most important place is here and now. And the most important people are the people around you. But these are the people whom you can share your understanding, be a blessing to them. And also these are the people whom you can learn from, interact with, establish relationship with. Yeah. Because of affinity, they are with you. Sometimes the affinity could be positive or negative, depending on the situation. Yeah. So these three types of clear comprehension, I already explained. The last one is clear comprehension on non-delusion. Means you are not deluded by what happened as you go through your cultivation. If you have this delusion, you will get into trouble. Where the 10 defilements of insight, they will come and haunt you, trick you, and bring about complacency, and you will stagnate, you will not progress. Because some of these defilements of insight, they are actually good stage of progress. Yeah. Like when you can see nimitta, the light in your meditation, is actually one of the defilement of insight. They call it obasa. Yeah. Nimitta arise. When your mind is calm, peaceful, nimitta will arise. Even with sati, anapanasati, mindfulness, nimitta will arise. But when it arises, you need to continuously relax into it and not deluded by it. You don't go and get yourself excited with it and lost yourself inside there and deviate and create all the jhana experience. Focus and develop all the concentration, the jhana and all those things. You can experience it, try it out, no harm. But don't attach, don't cling, and don't go that direction. Well, that will not lead to wisdom. That will lead to a conditioned mind state. Yeah. And the next one is you experience piti, sukha, tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, and you think that's it. You become complacent. Then you think you're already enlightened. Then you attach to the jnana. You attach to the jhanas. You attach to the stability of mindfulness. Then your thought will tell you, hey, they say an arahant is ever mindful. Then you think you also have that quality. You think you already somebody. Then you wanted to come out and teach and share. but you are not ready. So what happened is, that one will hinder you because you develop complacency. You think you are ready. That is the thought. But when you really go through the training, when you awaken, you will know. Your form and mind will know. Like the Buddha said, the Dhamma can be realized by the wise, each for themselves. Because this Dhamma is Pachetang, Veditato, Vinohiti. Can be realized by the wise one, each for themselves, nobody else. So these four areas of clear comprehension, you have to tie in when your daily mindfulness is developed. So this is the Sati Sampajana. Whereas Yoniso Manasikara is a step before you can achieve this. So Yoniso Manasikara is the initial wisdom, or the wisdom at the moment of sense experience in the midst of life. And this one can only come about through the first and second turning wisdom. Means you constantly listen to the Dhamma. That's why step number two, listening to the true Dhamma, is a very important step. And when you constantly listen, like a lot of our Kayamita, that's what they did. You ask Song, he's not here. They used to tell, I think, Tammy they all, and PG, and even Jin Hao, and also Pauline they all, including Alicia. Sometimes, Sunday class, or the last Tuesday class, what happened to his handphone? He suddenly pressed the button, the audio file come out. And who is speaking on the audio file? My talk. He every day listen. In the office, he listen. Go home, he listen. In his car, he listen. And he developed a lot of understanding and joy. Unless you do that, you can't. Because this contemplation, you remember I told you, my teacher Ajayantra reminded me, not less than 6 or 7 times. We choose contemplate, reflect, and inquire until very, very clear. That is the meaning. Means until that understanding is so stable, it goes into your nature. You can assimilate those understanding, and it will go into your nature. So initially, you listen. After you listen, you have cultivated before, could be past life or this life, then you listen again, the deeper understanding coming. Because early on, you are not ready to understand this deeper aspect of the Dhamma. Like I used to share with you all. Sometimes you may think I repeat and repeat and repeat, but it's actually not repeat, because it's for all level. If your level is only that stage, you can only understand up to that stage. Beyond that, you cannot understand. But the same teaching is all there. That's why as you listen again and again, deeper and deeper understanding unfold, comes in. Then you realize all along you have been listening to the same audio file. Nowadays, maybe video file. How come last time you didn't catch it? Now it starts to unfold and it becomes so clear to you. You can ask those who have done it and progress. So all this will only unfold if you were to listen to it with sincerity, with faith, with virya and sati, attentively, many, many times. It's just like we study. If you spend more time studying that subject, you will develop clearer understanding of that subject, isn't it? True or not? Initially, like blur, and everything also not so clear. But as you study, it becomes clear. It becomes clear. So what is happening is, it is just like studying. But in this case, is you must be in a state of creativity. Means you must have some ability to be aware, to be mindful. Means you are having that mind that is creative. Creative mind means that mind is most of the time aware. There is some thought, very little thought, but not much to cause you heedless. darkness, or cause you to be lost in thought. Means like you study, you can pay attention. Your ability to pay attention means the manasikara. Manasikara is attention. You are able to stay attentively listening or understanding that thing that you want to understand. So this manasikara is very important. Ability to have attentiveness when you listen. That's why listen attentively. Attentively means you just aware, listen. Do not allow your views, opinion, and conditioning to come in and interfere. Listen. If it's the truth, it will surface. You can link it. You can put it to test. You can make use of it. But if it's not the truth, you will also know because your nature can put it to test and it doesn't resonate. It doesn't stand up to investigation. So what happens is, after you constantly listen, you start to stabilize. The word is stabilize. I better write this down. You start to stabilize what you have listened. What you have listened to early on. Once you are able to stabilize what you have listened to earlier on, then what happens is you can assimilate after that. Can assimilate. This understanding. This one, temporarily. Take it down, huh? Assimilate this understanding. Into your nature. And this is your second turning wisdom. So this second turning wisdom is very important. After constant listening, listening to the Dhamma, you start to stabilize what you have listened to earlier on. Then you can assimilate this understanding into your nature. And this will give rise to the second turning wisdom. And this is how Yoniso Manasikara come about. And when the first and second turning wisdom stabilize, it prepares you to receive truth, especially the third turning wisdom. Then during that time, during your daily mindfulness, Sati Sampajana, understanding keep on unfolding. The Dhamma keep on unfolding. You keep on understanding the teaching. Then one day when the condition is ready, you will suddenly awaken through the third turning wisdom, which is Bhavana Maya Panya, wisdom born of the direct seeing. wisdom born of the meditative training. And the third turning will arise when you do the four foundation of mindfulness. When you really cultivate the four foundation of mindfulness. So these two are very important steps. Step 4 and 5. Yoniso Manasikara is step 4. Then when you have this initial wisdom, your mind stir less. Your mind has the right view, right understanding, the initial wisdom. That's why most of the thing you will understand, that it will stay in that state of attentiveness, awareness, and understanding. And it will not stir like before. Because your mind knew these are mental hindrances. These are not conducive for meditation. Thing is just the way it is. The world is the world. People are just the way they are. Why can't I accept them for what they are? Then I can be at peace. Then later on, when you combine with the higher teaching, especially the Mahayana teaching, the Six Patriarch Platform Sutta, the Three Hallmarks of Huining's teaching, you will understand why he starts with no thought. He takes you direct to the true nature, the true mind. That's how you penetrate very fast. They call that the sudden teaching, the sudden enlightenment. You don't have to go through all the thought-based meditation, the method and the technique, no need. You understand this, develop the spiritual faculty, and everything will fall into place. Then later on, when you understand deeper, the Diamond Sutta, four stanza, the famous teaching of the Buddha, become very clear to you. Each year you wei fa, zu meng huan pao ling, zu lu yi lu dian, ying zuo ru si guan. Everything is conditioned Dhamma, the Buddha say. And this conditioned Dhamma is not what you think. They are like dream state, illusion, bubble and shadow, no reality. Then, like a lightning flash and a morning dew. They are very transient, impermanent, not what you think. You have to contemplate them past. And with that, you will awaken straight away. Because after you have the initial wisdom, the daily mindfulness, then when the essential Dhamma keep on unfolding, you can understand truth very fast. The moment you hear truth, you awaken. The moment you hear truth, you awaken. The moment you silence your mind, you also can awaken. That's why during that time, Dhamma keep on unfolding. You start to see the truth, the universal characteristic everywhere in the midst of life and nature. That's the reason why I used to share with you all, truth is everywhere. Why can't you see? For those who see, they always see. Real truth is everywhere in the midst of life and nature. What are truth? The Dhamma. The Dhamma is everywhere. And the specific universal truth, universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state, empty nature and non-self, they are in the midst of life and nature. Everywhere they exist. Every phenomena exhibit their characteristics, those characteristics. That's why for those who see, they always see. Not only sometimes they see, sometimes they don't see. That one is not the real one here. The real one, they always see. Everything is just like that. In the midst of life and nature. And the five aggregate of form and mind, they are just like that. Then that time your spiritual faculty are so stable, they become unshakable. That's why most of the time you are just aware without thought. You are ever mindful. Yeah. And that is the real meditation. It's not what you have been listening and read about. You know, all those, most of them haven't really penetrated. That's why this understanding cannot unfold. It cannot be like shared and taught, because very few people have that understanding. Yeah. And for people to have that stability or understanding is not easy. Yeah. That stability of understanding can only come about after you have constantly reflect, contemplate, and you must come out and teach and share. Otherwise, you cannot understand a lot of what human beings think. And I just say, think and do. Because when I reflected back, it was my vow actually. That was what I supposed to do. And people who have affinity, they will come. And because of that, I realized all the conditions just unfold by itself. And as it unfolds, the teaching want to come out, the condition will arise, and things keep on arising and unfolding. That's why you will come to this realization. Nowadays, the sharing is so different again. Within one session, so much Dhamma can be covered. And these are not ordinary Dhamma. These are Dhamma that you cannot find in the normal course of your cultivation. Because this one can only come about when the conditions are there. When the Buddha Sasana is still around. That's why I say this is the best window of opportunity. And a lot of our Kayamita, they are going to progress very, very fast. Because that Kayamita force, the consciousness is very strong, evolving. Like 3-4 years ago, before the Bodhisattva way came out, my nature already sensed. That's why I told you all, this Kayamita force is moving. At first, it's maybe by the year, by the month. Then later on, I realized, it's by the week, by the day. Now it's all the time moving. That's why every of this class, the sharing becomes so different. I never change anything. I never want to teach anything. But the condition arise because they are ready. And because of the audio file, the video file, the recording, the website, things are very different now. So if you spend time with faith, listen attentively, you will understand, you will awaken. And it's not easy. Not difficult. Of course, I dare not say it's very easy. It's very easy for those who understand. Those who don't understand, not easy. That's why I dare to tell the sister, since she is new, she never meditated before, very easy to teach. Understand or not? Because clean slate, not conditioned, so very easy to absorb, like a sponge. You can follow, surprisingly. First time, new, and yet can follow. Because it's actually very clear. If you don't allow your conditioning to come in and interfere and create doubt, I tell you, you absorb like a sponge. And what you need to do is, with the faith, go and cultivate it. And you will see yourself transforming, progressing. Your character, your personality, your understanding, the way you go about living life, completely transformed, different. And your nature inside, keep on evolving, keep on transforming. Those who constantly come to the class, listen to the audio file, the video file, and do their homework, I tell you, they progress very fast. And they themselves can see that they have changed tremendously. Okay, any question? Sadhu. So I hope I have answered Sui An's question. So now you know the difference. Yoniso Manasikara and Sati Sampajana. They are two completely different steps, but they are all related. Without Yoniso Manasikara, Sati Sampajana cannot come about. Sati Sampajana got three steps. First, you have to train your mind to develop the sati through an understanding. You must understand that this mind, without the mental hindrance, it is naturally aware, peaceful. How to do away with the mental hindrance? Develop the spiritual faculty. That's why don't fight, don't suppress, don't control, don't do anything. Let them be. They are there because you lack these five. So what must you do? Cultivate these five. And these five is not difficult to cultivate. Reflect, contemplate. Again, reflect, contemplate on who the Buddha is and how special he, a being, is. He's not only enlightened, he's fully enlightened. Then his nine great virtues. Teacher of man and God. Perfect in wisdom and virtue. And he is a guide incomparable. Then he is worthy of a lot of things. Such indeed is the blessed one, the worthy one, the fully enlightened one, endowed with all those things. That's why, then you look at the way he perfect himself. That's why he has this teaching which is so wonderful. Can bring about enlightenment in the here and now, transform living being. Brings about the end of all suffering. Give rise to the noble life, the life of an enlightened being. So when you can have this understanding, this is the most important thing in life. Your whole existence depends on this understanding. Otherwise, when you come, you will suffer. But with this understanding, whenever you arise, you become a really beautiful being. And you can become a blessing to all. And your life is beautiful, perfect, very meaningful. Then after that, this sadha will move you to have virya, because you see the importance of this teaching. It's not only concerning this life, your entire existence from now onward. You make full use of this window of opportunity and make that bodhisattva vow, commit to develop all the faith, the understanding, the vow and the aspiration, invoke power of merit for you to have all those right view, right understanding, affinity with all the great beings. Then how to break your karmic obstruction and all those things. The moment you set those in place, then life after life you come, whether there is sasana or no sasana, your nature will thrive, your nature will arise and become very beautiful. And that is what you need, so that you don't have to take a chance. You know what is chance or not? After the sasana, no more. Don't know where you go. You get lost again for maybe long, long period. But because of what you did in this sasana, during the next sasana, which may be very, very long later, you take human birth again. You meet up with the sasana again, but you have forgotten everything. Then you start from scratch again. But if you have developed those bodhisattva vows, follow all those that I have shared with you, do you know what will happen? You will become very different. Because after this sasana, you will still have this understanding and teaching, and you will still know how to cultivate. Then by the time you hit the next sasana, your nature can become very beautiful, very, very different, very exceptional. And you could be like my nature, teaching people, sharing this Dhamma with living beings. And it's possible, not difficult. Okay? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Still got 10 minutes. Do you have any question? Tammy, luckily you got Tammy. Tammy always have question, which is very good.
All kinds, good evening. It's not really a question. It's what I noticed like just now when you were explaining initially, you say that see things as they really are.
Yeah.
And then just now the sister was talking about the light bulb, and then then I can't notice that. Because all this while when you see the light bulb, you know they're talking about consciousness.
Yeah.
It's when you ask the question, we don't take it.
Correct.
You assume you know.
That's why when you assume you know, you never learn. It's just like Krishnamurti say, the most dangerous person in this world is what? The one who say, I know. When you know, how to teach you? And that's why you already know. That's why when you see something silent, then find out, what is it? How come Bhratio say, direct seeing things as they are. What is the difference between what I normally see and what he say? You probe into it, inquire into it, then you will understand. But you can only understand when your daily mindfulness is very stable. Otherwise, your awareness cannot be there to give you that type of understanding. Yeah. Because I still remember during the early days, the very early days, all of a sudden, when my daily mindfulness came, then I realized that everything I see become very different. No? I look, the word never come out. The pure perception is there. No? Then if I want to name it, label it, I can. Then like the microphone, I look at it, I don't look at the word, no, the microphone. No, that's how. Well, when you label it as microphone, you assume this is a microphone. Then you fail to see. You never see. This so-called microphone in inverted comma got no name. And when I see the whole thing. Not even the color and everything. I see all these things as it is. Like a baby see. But don't try to see like what I tell you, Anasa. Then you're using your thought to look for it. Again, it's not the real one. The real one will only happen when you have that mindfulness. Then when you look at it, how come it, all the while it was like that? How come I never see like that? Well, your memory, your thought, your conditioning keep on telling you the words, the concept, the labeling. You label everything. And I reached a point when I was so shocked. I realized in the past, before I have this awareness, daily mindfulness, everything I need to refer to memory for the word to allow me to see that thing. Without the word, I cannot figure out what that thing is. Then I realized this is the mundane mind, delusion. This is not the way to see. The way to see is just like the baby. Understand? But the baby is without the memory. Understand? No? Without the conditioning. That's why it can see things as they are. No word, nothing. But you have to see like a baby with all this conditioning and the brain having all these things. That's why when you have wisdom, your seeing transforms. You can see things as they are. Where the wisdom will allow you to see it that way. Otherwise, you will see with the mundane mind, delusion, the views, the opinion, and the condition. But this is the only instrument you know how to use. You act with what? Memory. You don't believe me, you go and check. Every time you want to act, what do? You recall to memory. How must I act? What did Brother Teo say? What did the Buddha say? What did the Dhamma say? You refer every corner, but you never ask yourself, what is your understanding? When you go back to your understanding, all these things you actually set aside. You don't have to root them out and throw them away. You just set aside. Then you check inside. What is my understanding? Then when you act with understanding, you become different. Because the understanding will prompt you. I forgot to add one part. This one remind me. Yoni so manasikara asyan. You know how it functions or not? When you have developed this, then in your daily life, at the moment of sense experience, you know why you don't stir and react or not? Because this wisdom at the moment of sense of experience, they will come out and prompt you and tell you. Thing is just the way they are. The phenomenal world of consciousness is unreal. Rupang anicang, rupang anatta. Vedana anicang. All this Dhamma will come out and prompt you. And this Dhamma can prompt you and you can understand it and use it is because you have contemplated into it, reflected into it, inquire into it until it has become very, very stable. That's why this one will keep on manifesting in the midst of life. When you confront any problem, that wisdom inside will know how to deal, will know how to act. There is no fear, nothing. But you will know, form and mind not real, not me. This one goes the way of nature. That you understand the law of karma, it will not violate all those things. That's why this initial wisdom is very important, very powerful. And this one keep on arising to prompt you in the midst of life. That's why your mind cannot stir and behave like last time. Otherwise, every moment of sense experience, you go to your brain, your memory, and you try to retrieve through all the rubbish inside there. Because before you have the wisdom, there is still a lot of wrong view that will condition the wrong thought. Self-delusion, the phobia, the insecurity. And these are all sankhara. And what is sankhara? Sankhara anicang. Not only anicang. Sankhara dukkang. Bring about suffering. Then why you think? Why you cling? Then like the banana stem analogy, you peel layer by layer by layer, you go and think. At the center of it, there is nothing. Empty. That's why sankhara anicang, sankhara anatta. And all these become very clear. The Dhamma just stand out. Because your nature has assimilated all this understanding. After you have stabilized it, it assimilates. It goes into your nature. And this is the one that allows you to act. You will act with this understanding. That's why you become very different. And you know very clearly, form and mind is not real, not you. Just a vehicle and a tool for you to come. So make use of it. And all this will be very, very clear at that time. And it keep on arising to prompt you. That's why there is no more delusion like a normal Buddhajana, the unawakened being. And this is the real transformation. If you cannot have that, means you still have not stabilized your understanding. Your second turning is still very weak. Angie, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
We know, it's true that having a understanding will and the right understanding will help. But a lot of people, they get into, the mode of not knowing that the thought is driving them. So, because thought is traveling even faster than light. Even faster than the speed of light, I think. Because it goes round the whole universe, then before you know it, it's gone so many rounds already.
That's why you must have mindfulness, awareness. Without sati, you are as if dead. The Hitlers are as if dead. That statement is very powerful. You have to understand that statement. And what is sati? Sati is mindfulness. And to be heedful, you must be ever mindful. So mindfulness is just the beginning. That's why after that, you must develop the stability of daily mindfulness. Then after your daily mindfulness stabilized, you have to add in clear comprehension so that you don't debate. But your daily mindfulness can only stabilize when you have done that two things. Develop the initial wisdom, then your formal meditation. Train your mind until the mind realizes paucity or enters sati. When your mind realizes paucity, means like waning, you have realized your true mind, your silent mind. Then only the mind can enter sati, based that true mind, which is just pure awareness, cannot think. That state has to be very stable. And when that past is stabilized, it becomes samadhi in the midst of life. That's why sati leading to the complete tranquility and stillness of mind means no more movement, no more activity. Means the awareness also stops. Means the awareness is not having specific phenomenal awareness or spacious awareness without a center. When it still have that, it's still in sati. Understand? But the moment you hit past sati, is the tranquility of mind stillness, you realize your true mind. It's just that awareness without any movement. Yeah. Then it's so still, tranquil. No thought, nothing. You don't even have to be aware. It's just that stillness. The awareness that is aware of that stillness. And the stillness is without movement, without word. And that is your true mind, your true day. And that one is very difficult to perceive. That's why the moment you can have a glimpse, you already awaken. At least a sotapan or a sakadagami. That's why at step 4 and 5, chances is you already a sotapan, at least. Then when you hit step 6 and 7, sense restraint followed by the three-way right contact, you are at least a sakadagami. Yeah. Because sense restraint means your evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion and your precept, they are all well kept. You cannot violate them. So sakadagami, the second stage of sainthood, the five fetters, the first three of course at sotapanna shape, you already severed them, rooted them out. But the fourth and fifth, even at the sakadagami level, you only attenuated them. You understand? Sensual desire and ill will. That's why when you can have sense restraint, means you have attenuated them. You reduce them by a lot. That's why after that, when you move on to the Satipatthana Sutta, the ending verse, the conclusion the Buddha always mentioned, if you have cultivated this Satipatthana practices for 7 years until 7 days, you will have realized at least anagami, if not arahantship. And the sutta is very consistent. Yeah. That's why a lot of people don't understand. They straight away want to go into vipassana, straight away want to go into satipatthana for foundation of mind. But they don't know there is a sentence before. After overcoming covetousness and grief, then only you can cultivate the four foundation of mindfulness. And that one means you need the step 4, 5, 6 and 7. That's why Avijja Sutta is very clear. The Sutta on Avijja, ignorance. And it highlights to you by the Buddha how you need to train your mind. The 10 steps leading to enlightenment. And step 4 and 5 is very important. Yoniso Manasikara, leading to Sati Sampajana. Then only the real meditation starts. It's like after that, only you can have sense restraint. You can keep your precept. You can see your defilement. You can cultivate four foundations. Then you can arise the three-way of right conduct. Then your karmic nature all taken care of. That's why this sutta is so important, so powerful. So in the early day, I actually came across it by chance now. Just before I did the website, suddenly this sutta came out. Then I asked myself, got such sutta, avijja also got sutta. I said, ignorant also must teach. No need to teach. Then I click on it. Then I saw the 10 step. I realized it's so beautiful. Because this was what I did. This was how I developed it. That's why I put it into our website. The two sequence, enlightenment sequence and the avijja sequence, how you fall and how you transcend. Okay? So I hope I explain what you want to know. Okay, let us rejoice. Then we share merit and transfer merit. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us recall to mind all of the wholesomeness that we have developed, and we will share this merit with all beings, starting from the devas. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyantang anumoditva chirang rakkantu loka sasana itta vata caam ehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhya idang menya tinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo devo asatukalena sasa sampati hetu ca vito bhavatu loko ca raja bhavatu dhammiko imina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha and the worthy ones. Then we end. Thank you. Also, I'd like to thank all those who donated towards the camera. So a big sadhu to all. Kayamita evolved because Kayamita fun take one slot. You should thank Jin Hao. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.